So today we talk about scripture. You may have noticed on the screen that a lot of the scriptures are right next to the songs that we're singing. Scripture is our topic of conversation today. As I was thinking through this, I kept thinking back to those scriptures that I remembered as a child. A lot of those scriptures that I quoted to people that weren't necessarily scripture, but I quoted them as if they were. So what I thought would be fun is to see if you could tell which ones of these are actually scripture and which aren't. All right, so just say yes or no if I say this. All right, here we go. Scripture number one, cleanliness is next to godliness. See, I'm telling my mom that next time I see her. Number two, God helps those who help themselves. No, no, not either. Neither a borrower nor a lender be, and above all, to thine own self be true. Ooh, there's a pause there, wasn't it? No, that's actually Polonius talking to Laertes in Hamlet. That was one of my favorites. All right, and here's one. I have escaped only by the skin of my teeth. Aha! Job 19, verse 20. Believe it or not, Job says that in Job 19, verse 20. You know, it's funny because there's a lot of these things that I say or have said in the past that are scriptural that I think are real, but they're not. They're more cliche, which lets me know that I need to do a little bit more reading. There's a whole lot more, but I didn't want to spend all day talking about that. But today we talk about scripture. We talk about what is, what it can be for us. So as we begin, let's start with a word of prayer, shall we? Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for bringing us together and for giving us the opportunity to speak life to someone today. Lord, wherever we are in our spiritual walk, wherever we are in our week, whether we are dealing with some major tragedies, some victories, some success, Lord, wherever we are, help us to be a people who speak life to others, who can be an encouragement to others. Lord, in those moments when we want to seek our own way, help us to consider others better than ourselves, to not think of ourselves more highly than we should. Lord, help us to be a people who puts your word in our heart. Help us to have eyes that are open and ears to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, just as we do every week, last week we talked about the importance of prayer. We talked about some things we were going to do this week. Greg came up and talked about some practices that I had him experiment on last week, and it was a really interesting opportunity to listen to someone's experience, so thank you, Greg, very much. On our website, we have two pages that I wanted to make you aware of. One of those is our prayer journal page, and this is something that we just started. If you look under resources right there at grapevinechurch.com, look under resources, you'll see two buttons, prayer journal and prayer practices. These are two pages that I hope will help you pursue a deeper connection with God. Now, the first one is the prayer journal page, and this is a page that Russell has been working on for a while, and Christian put this together, but it mainly comes from you. These are thoughts on scripture from many of you who have sent them into Russell, and he's still accepting these, by the way. But this is the page, prayer journal. And so if you go to that every day, it's going to be something different. You can go in there, and it will give you something to think about for the day, a scripture to hang on to. And so this is a great way to get into this season. Prayer journal. The second one is prayer practices. Now, the prayer practices page has got about four or five different ways to pray. It just kind of helps you refocus a little bit, gives you something different. Hopefully, you'll be able to maybe experiment with some of this, and the connection that you feel with God might be a little bit deeper, but if anything, it will help focus you during this busy time. So if you remember, we pray for a couple different reasons. We pray to receive, we pray to receive, we pray to connect with God, we pray also to bless others. You know, whenever you pray with somebody, that's blessing them. In a large way, blessing is remembering and bringing someone else's name up to God. That's what blessing is in a large way. And so if we if we pray with someone, you know that moment when someone says, I need you to pray for me, I really need prayer. So a lot of times we'll say, I'll do that, I'll do it this week. What if you just took the time and did it right there? What if you said, oh, can I do that right now for you? And just over the next second, just pray. Put your hand on them or just stand right there and pray for them. It's a little unnerving to some who've never experienced that, but I tell you, whenever someone lifts up your name before God, that's blessing. So that's why we pray. We pray to receive, we pray to connect, and we pray to bless. There's other reasons too, but these are the things we talked about specifically last week. But I think we have barely scratched the surface on what prayer does, what this power is in prayer. And I continue to see how crucial this is to the Christian life. It is time with God. It is time listening. It is time talking. It is time crying out. It is time in silence. It is communion with God. Don't miss the chance to make him a part of your daily, everyday, walking around, eating, drinking, working, socializing life. Prayer can help you continue that. So I encourage you to visit our site, look at those two pages, and get to work. So today we talk about Scripture. So as I'm thinking about Scripture and the importance that it plays in our life, I'm thinking back to the early Jewish culture, that culture that Jesus was born into. And Scripture to this culture was highly, highly important. It was their custom to begin and end their day with prayer. They prayed the Shema. It's found in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. And it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is how they started their day. This is how they ended their day with the Shema. It's really pretty too. You can learn this. It's Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. So it's really easy. It's prettier to say it that way. Anyway, but if you can say that, you are reminding yourself who I belong to. You're reminding yourself whose you are and who you worship. You're reminding yourself as soon as you wake up, that God is my God. As soon as you go to sleep, you're saying, God is my God. And this is Scripture. Scripture is a fantastic way to pray. And now Scripture to the Jews was highly, highly important. Learning it was highly important. It all started in the home. Parents started training their children as soon as they were born, however they could. Formal education began when you were 5 years old. Mainly for boys, but I've heard that girls sometimes would participate, but I've heard of opposing views, so I'm not really sure what's actually true. But what I do know from most of the resources is that boys would start their training at age 5 in the local synagogue, and they would learn the Torah and the Psalms. They would be studying these scriptures till they were 12 years old. That's what they do. In fact, they would go 7 days a week. Kids, they'd go 7 days a week to school. They wouldn't even go to synagogue. You know why? Because of the Jewish culture, learning the scriptures and memorizing them was equally as important as worship. I thought that was very interesting. The scriptures to them were life. The law was life. Now the girls would learn the Psalms. They would learn the Torah too, but primarily they would have the Psalms memorized by the time they were my daughter's age. Which I tell it all the time. Do you have Psalms yet? No. She's got a ways to go, as do I. But the girls would know Psalms. They'd know Psalms. And the boys would know the Torah. They would know it. They would know the Psalms. Mainly an average student would have at least the Torah memorized, mostly, by the time they were 12 years old. What is that? Genesis, Exodus, and Torah? It's a lot of words there. They would have that all memorized. And so by the time they were 12... they would either stop, if they were C and D students, they would stop and they would go learn a trade with their dad. And then the ones who displayed a gift for memorization, they would continue and learn a trade from their father. So they would continue on to the prophets and to the writings. And while they were maybe 18, 20 years old, they would have most of the prophets memorized too. So if you were a student who continued, you'd have Torah memorized, you'd have the Psalms, you'd have the writings, the prophets, you'd have these memorized. kind of makes me feel bad when I can't even remember the punchline to a joke that I was trying to tell this morning. You know, some of these people had the Word of God on their heart and in their mind. They didn't have to refer to the scroll. They don't have books. They had it in their heart. That's very convicting to me. Now, my formal training was mainly in a Christian school. A lot of you may know that. I was in a Christian school most of my life, with the exception of about a year and a half. Memorization was a key part of that. Scripture was an ongoing part of my training. But I remembered every morning we said three different pledges. I was just asking Hannah this morning. Hannah, no. Haley. Okay, sorry. I was asking Haley this morning because she goes there, and I said, do y'all say pledges? She says one. We had to say three. So we said the pledge to the American flag, and then we said the pledge to the Christian flag. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, risen, crucified. No, one Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty for all who believe. Okay, that's what we'd say. And then we said a pledge to the Bible. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. Said that every day for years and years, five times a week. I remember that. And whenever I was saying those, in the midst of a lot of that, I thought, what is the point? And why are we saying the Christian pledge second? Why don't we say that first before the American flag? I didn't know that either. But this last one, the pledge to the Bible, that was based on Scripture. You know what Scripture that is? Psalm 119. It says this, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. The next one, the next part of that is Psalm 110, verses 9 through 11. It says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I remember there were moments when I hated saying those each and every morning, but you know, I still remember them. And it has been quite a while since I said that formally. I memorized a lot of scripture, Psalm 23, Psalm 100, you name it. I probably memorized it at some point, but now it's kind of gone by the wayside. I remember some in bits and pieces. Some I do remember because I've worked on them in the last couple of years, but for the most part, those things that I learned, they're not there as much. But I still remember those bits and pieces. They're still in my heart to some extent. So I wanted to do an experiment, because I know that there are the big verses we all go to whenever there are difficult moments or when you're trying to talk to someone about God. So let's just all do this together. Doesn't matter if you learn them in KJV or NIV, but we're going to try this together. Here we go. Ready? All right. In the beginning. All right. Pretty good. That's Genesis 1:1. Here we go. The next one. For God so loved, gave his only son, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Good job. All right, John 3:16. All right, here's the next one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Nice. Some of you could keep going. That's pretty good. All right, and the Word was God. Okay, here we go. And the last one, Peter replied. This is the Church of Christ verse. Repent. And that's right. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's okay, good. That's pretty good. I'm pretty impressed. All right. You know, today when I thought about who I wanted to talk to about memorizing scripture, one person jumped to mind. Every time I go to this man's house, I see Bibles all over. I see notes. I just see a lot of scripture going on at this man's house. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to go down here and talk to Brother Bob Hodges. I don't know if you know him, but he has graciously agreed to talk to us today. So I have some questions I'm going to ask. I'm going to give this to you here. Oh, perfect. Good. All right. So this is Bob Hodges, everybody. And could you introduce yourself to those of us who may not know you?
Well, I'm Bob Hodges, and I was born in a farming community about 6 miles south of Grapevine here. We farmed about 200 acres where DFW is sitting right now. And I was the youngest kid out of seven kids. And if I might say so, the best looking too.
And the humblest, right? Most humble.
Yeah. I've been living around Grapevine all of my life except 3 years that I was in the Army. When I turned 18, well, I got a letter from Uncle Sam, says greeting. Well, I didn't even know I had my name in the pot, but it was in there for about 3 years. So after I come back from Europe, well, old May and me got married, and we raised a family. We had two good and great children. We had four grandchildren and seven great-grandchildren. They're all good. So that's about the size of it.
That's wonderful. So your house is now a runway for DFW, yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. Wow, that's been a while back. Okay, so tell us, why is Scripture so important to you?
Well, Scott, I want to go to heaven when I die, when this is over. That's one reason, and I think the Word of God holds those truths that we might learn and that we need to go to heaven too long. Because as you mentioned a while ago, the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the Bible says we walk in that light, and He's in the light. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin.
That's right.
So I like the Bible because it tells me we can go to heaven if we'll try.
That's right. God is the one who saves us. It is, right. And it's all in there. Okay, so you have memorized a lot of Scripture. And I know whenever we were having our conversation, there's a couple that have kind of risen to the top. So tell me, what is your favorite passage in Scripture?
One of them, Scott, is Psalms 1, and it tells us that if we'll walk with Christ, Christ will walk with us. Mm-hmm. It said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but standeth in the way of sinners, but his delights in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that giveth forth fruit this season. And his leaf shall not wither. Ungodly, not so. He shall be like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor the sinner in the congregation of the righteous. For God knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the sinner he shall perish.
Amen. Amen. I love that. Now, that was one of the first ones that I learned too as a kid, and those have stuck with me. I may not be able to say it word for word like you, but those precepts, they stick with you. So tell me, I know there's another one that really is meaningful to you.
Yes, John 14, verse 1 through 6. It tells us here that Christ conquered the grave and he conquered death. And to a Christian, we shouldn't be afraid to die. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you in myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know? And the Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Friend, the Lord has it all. We obey Him.
That's wonderful. I love that passage. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, if you know that, you know, there's no limit to what we are capable of doing through the name of Jesus Christ. So, okay, so as we talk about this, when we were talking about how you grew up, we're a little different in that, you know, I learned Scripture when I was a kid, but how old were you when you really memorized your very first Scripture?
Well, I was baptized in 1948, and the first Bible teacher that I had, I walked in there, and me and some more young men, I was young then, I was young one time, and he told us, he said, I'm going to teach you how to memorize Scripture. He said, Bob, that I want you to memorize 22:14. It says, blessed is he to keep my commandments, that he might have the right to the tree of life. He said, if you remember that, that study that today and this week, he said, you'll never forget it. You know, I forget what I had for breakfast sometimes, but I that stuck with me.
You hadn't forgotten that, have you?
I hadn't forgotten that.
Well, that is wonderful. Let's wrap this up. What encouragement do you have for our family here when it comes to putting Scripture on your heart?
Well, the best that I can tell you here is God wants us close to Him. The closer, the better. And to get close to God, we need to be in His Word and try to live it up every day in our life. Romans 3:23 says, "For God, for we all sin and come short of the glory of God." And yes, we know that no one is perfect. We all sin. But no one's perfect, but to keep striving and praying that God will never give up trying to do what's pleasing to Him. As long as we please God, we're all right.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you, sir. I really appreciate you talking and opening yourself up like this. So, ladies and gentlemen, Bob Hodges, thank you. Now, I'm very thankful for you. And I'm thankful for so many other of you who put Scripture in your heart. You have been pillars to this family. And so what I wanted to do is we were asking some of our kids to quote some Scripture. And so I've got a video here in just a moment where in honor of you and those of you who have been here a while, we have some of our own kids quoting Scripture. It's about a minute long. We have about 4 or 5 kids. So go ahead and roll that video.
Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives assurance about things we cannot see. Hebrews 11:1.
God saw all that He made and it was really good.
Those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. Daniel 12:3.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11.
This is Isaiah 12:2. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Himself is my strength and my defense. He's become my salvation.
There's nothing better than hearing the future of our family quoting the Word of God. There are those of us who live and breathe Scripture, and I think that's wonderful. I wish I could be as devoted as you. I'm trying more and more every day. But we've talked a lot about what our busy culture looks like in the last several weeks, and we are about to endure a busy season. Thanksgiving, Christmas, 'tis the season to be busy, and in our search for fullness, I'm going to encourage us to spend some time in Scripture. Fill our mind with Scripture. When we take time to focus on the very words that are in Scripture, when you take time to focus on these words, we slow down. We are forced to focus on what God is telling us, what the Word is saying, instead of what's going on around us. Scripture helps us to focus. It helps us to concentrate. And when we repeat the words of God, they begin to stick. Place it on your heart. Place it in your mind. Speak Scripture to others. Real Scripture to others. And you speak life to people. Isaiah 55 says this: as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's word is powerful. And God's word can also fill you. Look what it says here. It says in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. This is the original verse. Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days. He has prepared his whole life. He's got the Torah memorized. He's got the Psalms memorized. He's got the prophets memorized. He is 30 years old. And in that culture, when you're 30, you can become a teacher. You can begin to teach things that you know. He started his ministry at age 30. And here he is undergoing one of the worst moments of his life. And he says this, when Satan says, hey, make bread out of these stones, you can do it. He says this, he humbled you, causing to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. He could have said everything, anything else, but that's what he said. Man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Scripture can fill you if you let it. Romans 12, what does it say? I've been working on this whole chapter for months now. And I'm almost there. But I tell you, it says, be not conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You want to know what God's will is? Read Scripture. Let Scripture read you. Let it transform you. Isaiah 59 says this. It's not here. It says this, and as for me, in fact, I'm going to read it from the Bible, not from my printout, because I marked it. Isaiah 59, verse 21. Love this verse. It says, as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit who is on you and my words that I have put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth or from the mouth of your children or from the mouths of their descendants from this time on and forever. Scripture, the word of God, the words that come from this book are eternal. They are forever. Whatever else we do could pass away. This is life. Knowing God is life. I'm going to encourage you to put this on your heart. Start. I'm starting to. Start with something small. One scripture. Start with John 11:35. It's really easy. Two words. Jesus wept. You want to go to the longest verse in the Bible, go to Esther 8:9. Then you can, you know, I'll be impressed. I've still not got that one. Start with something small, move your way up. You know, there are people that I know that know the whole Beatitudes sermon. It's just fantastic. What would it look like if you just started memorizing, putting it on your heart? Start now, start small, and then maybe in a week, a month, a year, what would that look like? How would that begin to shape you, to shape your children, to shape your community, your atmosphere? Don't underestimate what God can do with the power of the word. So will you do it? I encourage you. Let Scripture fill you. So as we begin to let Scripture fill us, let's all stand together and we're going to say something. Just repeat after me. This is that pledge to the Bible. I think it's pretty good, pretty safe for all of us to say this, because who doesn't want to say this? You ready? We believe. Ready? Okay, let's try it again. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God.